Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Natural religion embraces the concept of creationism and the natural relationship which all men have with one another, and supposedly to God himself as a result of this creation. It takes delight in a God who will be mindful of a man's troubles, not to mention answer his prayers. In fact, the psalmist said that a man is a fool who would declare that there is no God. So it should not come as a surprise to us to conclude that man seeks after some fulfillment of his imaginations concerning deity. Hence, the Greeks worshipped and served many gods, all of which were very similar in many ways, and they looked forward to hearing and telling some new thing, most especially when what they heard reinforced basic ideas that needed no revelation to grasp. Paul said, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Yet the absolute truth of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead cannot be embraced apart from divine revelation, because it forms the very foundation of the hope of the true sons of God. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. The fact of the resurrection can be seen by the natural man in some measure. But the reliance and confidence by faith in this event as one's hope and expectation can only come as God is pleased to give men faith to believe it. When that occurs, the historical fact of it becomes secondary to the delight and rejoicing that one has in the one who triumphed over sin and death. John said, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is what the essence of being a witness of his resurrection is all about. It is not simply being aware of the fact that he came forth from the grave, but that his coming forth from the grave bears witness that he is our source of life and light. He is our life in eternity. All life has its beginning in him. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Though all forms of temporal life have sprung from him, that life which is alone eternal is most especially that which is found in him. The scripture says that the Father chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world, and these were a people which he foreknew. Because of the life which was given to them in Christ, they were predestinated to be conformed to Christ before they were ever created in actual fact. He is the very fountain or spring from which their life has sprung and is eternally sustained. They have life because he is their life. He is our life in this world. The stark difference between those who are without Christ and those who by his grace are in Christ is this life which springs from him. Paul said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Though the elect were born into the same spiritual darkness and dead condition that all of the human race share in, yet because they are appointed unto life in Christ, he has in his own time awakened them and made them new creatures in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We are now gladly identified with Christ in our mind, which was at one time alienated and enemies by our own desire, having been reconciled to him by that which he has performed for us and declared to us. He has taken up an abode with us and is our daily performer and sustainer. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We have life because he is our life. The natural life which all men have will one day be taken from them, but that life which is in Christ shall endure forever. He is our life through the ages to come. It is impossible that the grave should hold the bodies of the elect forever. The living cannot be found among the dead. Jesus Christ has purchased redemption for our whole man, and shall in his own time come to claim that which is his possession. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Though the worms eat our flesh, and we slumber until the sound of the last trump, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He is indeed our life. Do you have life in Jesus Christ, or do you simply live in the present moment?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.